Jesus Christ.
Williams, good morning. Give us a second to get everybody in and out here. Okay, you may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honor. May I please report? My name is Steve Williams. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Morris. As you probably are well aware, we're here because the Nebraska Court of Appeal dismissed Mr. Morris's appeal for lack of jurisdiction, essentially because he had never been adjudicated to be the father of Selena, hadn't participated in a testimony, hadn't provided any notarized acknowledgments of truth. We obviously are contending that that dismissal was erroneous. I guess the first issue I would like to address is one that wasn't addressed by the Court of Appeals, or if it was, it certainly wasn't mentioned. It wasn't addressed by either party in the briefs, and that is whether Mr. Morris would be considered a custodian under the statutes that would allow the appeal. One of the arguments raised by the appealing attorney is that there are only certain individuals that are allowed to appeal. One of those is a custodian. I think if you look at the allegations that were made against Mr. Morris in this case, or look at the evidence that's contained in the record,
counsel with no visitation rights and no other contact with the child and having been charged with child abuse, how can you stand before this court and argue he was a custodian?
I think you have to
argue he's a father.
You look at the time period prior to and at the time of the filing of that petition to determine whether he is a custodian. This case law indicates any individual is empowered by parental authority to care for a child is a custodian.
And it takes you in a different direction. What do you have to do to establish that you are, in fact, the father of the child? Is there a different way to establish
it? Well, certainly. They can file a petition.
If the father appears in a petition to interview and testifies that I am the father of the child, I had sexual relationships with the mother during the time that this would fit into that period of time when the conception would be possible, and the mother testifies under oath that the person is the father of the child, and the time frame occurred with that, and that there's nobody that comes in and contests that, isn't that a method of establishing paternity?
Not in an abuse and neglect case. You would have to file a separate action to have paternity established by the juvenile court. And quite honestly, the economic realities of this situation and the way in which I represented Mr. Morris, that would not possible. We can't afford to hire a private attorney to do this. I'm appointed under a contract in Lancaster County that does not authorize me to do paternity.
Trial court make a determination that he was, for purposes of this intervention, sufficient facts presented that give him status as the father of the child.
That is my argument for juvenile court purposes. I understand, but the juvenile court saying you're the father, which allows you to intervene, doesn't establish paternity in the legal sense. But my argument in juvenile court, for purposes of juvenile court, for purposes of participation or visitation, you're the father.
I think that's what Justice Wright is trying to get across.
Well, and I agree with that 100%. I think there should be no question about that. I was raising a custodian argument just because it hadn't been raised, and I want to get that in just in case I ran out of time. But I wholeheartedly agree that for purposes, I mean, juvenile court couldn't have been more clear when she said, I find, based on the evidence presented, he is the father of Selena, and he's allowed to intervene. Our position would be that should be the end of that issue in terms of whether he's a parent or not. So I think in many methods with which he has standing and jurisdiction and either to participate in presentation or in the
appeal. We're here on one limited issue, is that is whether or not the Court of Appeals had jurisdiction over this matter because of the paternity issue as to whether or not the father produced evidence that he was, in fact, the father of the child.
And I would respond with a two-sided argument. One is he is the father for purposes of juvenile court. The juvenile court told us that. Number two, the cases cited by the Court of Appeals are specifically paternity cases. They were not juvenile court cases.
And I think you say that, does that make any difference?
I think it makes a difference, and that gives you a separate second argument that allows you to appeal. I think anybody who's allowed to intervene and is now a party has the right to appeal.
What's the case that the Court of Appeals relied upon in determining was it that the Stratman case?
That was the Stratman case.
So what did Stratman actually hold?
That the only circumstances under which the father of an out of wedlock child may obtain visitation is the actual establishment of paternity in a court proceeding. But they specifically and fully admitted that paternity.
Did did they define how you should establish a paternity? Is there any specific requirement as to how you establish a paternity?
I don't believe there was any strategy. I don't believe they limited to any specific method for establishing paternity.
As a matter of fact, the issue of this draft was whether or not a person who had denied paternity 7 years or 6 years prior could now assert paternity in another proceeding, and the court said you're stopped to do that.
That is correct. It was a similar but yet different issue that wasn't raised in our case. But as I was saying, I believe there are many different theories for which
Mr. Did your client ever deny paternity?
No.
That's not very simple. I mean, that's quite different than Stratford.
Well, now it is different. He's always said he was the father. Ms. Moore, the mother of the child, clearly said he'd be the only possible father. This isn't a case...
And there's no evidence to the contrary.
Correct. And I would point out, any party that was at that hearing could have appealed to this court if that was an issue, and it wasn't appealed to this issue. As far as I'm concerned,
I think what the court of appeals was relying upon in determining that it didn't have jurisdiction was a statement from Stratton that said that in a paternity action, the court may award visitation to the alleged father only if the court determines that the alleged father is indeed the father. Okay.
So
in this action, could we say that the court can allow someone to intervene as the putative father only if the court determines that the alleged father is in fact the father?
You sure could.
Isn't that what happened in this case?
That is what happened. The court made the determination that he's the father, and that's where we are. It wasn't raised until after...
What's this formal hearing or legally established determination of paternity? What is that?
I assume that means a hearing in a paternity case filed pursuant to paternity statute, which we weren't in that type of hearing. We were obviously in juvenile court under abuse and neglect hearing. But as I said, I believe Mr. Moore's even, number one, he's the father, number two, he's the custodian, and number three, he's an intervener, and we have a couple of cases I studied in the briefs that make clear interveners who are intervening as parties and allowed to intervene as parties have all the rights to all the other parties, and that would include the right to appeal.
Well, how could you intervene in a part in an action for visitation of a minor child unless you established an interest in that minor child, and what interest could you establish other than being the father of the child?
Well, I think you could establish you're the stepfather. You were a living boyfriend who was not the father, who had raised the child for 8 months prior to the case.
That wouldn't give you a right to intervene. That wouldn't give you an interest that would be sufficient to allow the determination of visitation rights.
I think it wouldn't even report that overriding rule that applies to visitation is it in the best interest of the child. I think if anybody can establish they have a sufficient legal interest of the child, they would be allowed to intervene. If they can show that it would be a beneficial and in the best interest of the child situation, they would be allowed to have visitation. Thank you. I'll reserve the remainder of my floor for vote.
Thank you. Ms. Henderson, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Alicia Henderson, and I represent the petitioner in this particular case today in the question. It is obvious from the court's questions as to what it is that is necessary for a father to establish that he is indeed a father in a juvenile court proceeding. And perhaps a crude way to state it is that this reminds me of the old adage that just saying it does not make it so. And the reason that I say that is there is a specific provision in the juvenile code for determining paternity. That provision would be completely unnecessary if this informal motion to intervene that is done would be permitted
what provision in the
to
juvenile
establish.
Code? What specific provision is there in the juvenile code?
43-247, subparagraph 11.
That simply gives current jurisdiction of the juvenile courts, of the district court, and the county courts, doesn't establish any specific procedure.
It provides that the juvenile court has the ability to establish paternity.
So does the district court, and so does the county court.
That is correct.
So what specific procedure are we talking about?
I'm simply indicating that that is a basis for jurisdiction in the juvenile court to determine paternity. When we are filing a case in juvenile court, there needs to be an action brought and a written motion to say, this is what we are establishing.
The father asked to intervene in this case because he alleges he's the father.
That is correct.
He testifies that he's the father of the child, that he had sexual relationships with the mother during the time which would make him the father. The mother testifies he's the father of the child. There's no one that testifies that he's not the father of the child.
I understand.
So, what's the issue? You're saying he hasn't established paternity? What does he have to do to establish paternity? Going to the juvenile court and have another hearing?
I'm indicating to this court that people make mistakes about whether or not someone is a father. It has happened in other cases.
That's not the issue in this case.
Well, if I may proceed. It is an issue because the kind of responsibility and obligation that flows from a simple acknowledgement of paternity would be the same as if there were DNA testing which actually established that he was the father of this child. For instance, the ability to have familial placement. In other words, all of this man's relatives are suddenly given preference for placement of this child. That's one. The second is that under the Indian Child Welfare Act, the tribe, should he be a member of the tribe would have a right to intervene, to transfer, to have Indian placement, all on his testimony and her testimony, which, and I acknowledge that may not be the case in this case, but we don't know. We've not had the DNA testing done.
I don't follow your argument at all. The only issue is whether or not there's evidence that he is the father of this child. Is there any evidence to the contrary?
There was not evidence presented in this case. However, the court made a determination that that was not to be considered an establishment of paternity and ordered that there would be DNA testing. And I simply would submit to the court that I believe that it is imperative for this court to say that in order to establish paternity in a juvenile court case in this manner, that at least a petition needs to be filed, DNA testing needs to be done, in order to have those...
Just give me one statute that sets out that requirement. Give me one statute in Nebraska that sets out that requirement.
There is not a statute that indicates that this should be different in juvenile court. However...
How is that different from Cox versus Hendricks, which was cited in the Stratton case, that said, in that case, the father admitted paternity?
I acknowledge that, Your Honor. I acknowledge that. What I am simply saying is that because the stakes are so high about placement issues...
I don't care about the stakes in this case. I'm concerned about whether or not there's jurisdiction in this case because of paternity.
I understand that. And I would submit to the court there is not.
What's the basis of Stratton's determination that you have to have a formal hearing? Where does it say in Stratton that you have to have a formal hearing to determine the term?
There is nothing in Stratton that indicates that.
And what's the basis for the Court of Appeals determination that you didn't have jurisdiction?
I am indicating that the Court of Appeals was saying that a father needs to establish through an acknowledgement, that's the only thing I can determine as exactly what the case is meant, through an acknowledgement of paternity, a written acknowledgement of paternity, that he was a father.
What was that ever? Did he ever file a written acknowledgement of paternity?
No.
And there is a procedure, I think, in the adoption statutes whereby a putative father can establish paternity in that way.
Correct.
But that procedure was not followed here?
Correct. There was no evidence presented at all, and obviously I don't know that which was presented in the trial.
There was signed acknowledgement that you can retract within 60 days. And the sworn testimony under oath and hearing before the court that you are the father, what's the difference between the two? Which has more significance?
Well, I would indicate to you that the court below did not believe that she was conducting a paternity.
He was conducting a petition for intervention.
Correct, but did not recognize...
Based upon what interest would he have to intervene? On what basis would he intervene in this case, and what basis could the court find that he had status standing to intervene in this case?
Well, in the practice, and all I can say is the practice in the separate juvenile court is to allow someone who believes, a putative father, who believes he is a father, to intervene so that he can have counsel, so that those issues can be discussed, and a petition can be made, or a motion can be made, to establish paternity in the juvenile court, should that person, you know, turn out after genetic testing to be the father.
Wouldn't the state have the same opportunity if the petition for intervention to object? To the intervention?
Absolutely.
And wouldn't the state be able to put on evidence then that this was person was not in fact the father?
I had simply asked that paternity action, that a DNA testing be done, and I, quite frankly, I can't remember if that happened earlier in the meeting or not.
Continuance then, pending the result of the DNA test, if he felt that was necessary to establish that he was not the father?
If indeed this court tells us for the first time that a paternity, that by intervening, that establishes him as parent, absolutely. I will do that from now on. But there had been nothing that, at least that I had read, in the juvenile code or any of the court's cases, indicating that simply a motion for intervention would be an establishment of paternity, especially in light of the 43247 paragraph 11.
The Court of Appeals relied on Stratton by saying that you couldn't establish your paternity unless you had some kind of formal paternity hearing. And in the Stratton case, the court says, Hagen was before the court, this is the putative father, was before the court in 1979 and could have established his paternity by simply admitting he was the father. Now that's the case upon which the Court of Appeals relies upon by saying it doesn't have standing to hear this matter because there's been no establishment of paternity.
Well, you also sit as a petitioner or perhaps with the Department of Health and Human Services in this case. There was absolutely no due process provided either to my office or to the Department of Health and Human Services indicating that this was a paternity action. In other words, that I would be on adequate notice to indicate that this man was trying to establish paternity through the intervention.
You're on adequate notice. The man is claiming he's the father of the child when he filed the petition to intervene, isn't he?
Well, obviously, I did not think so because the argument that is not a filing for paternity. But there are established procedures in the paternity statutes to provide for paternity.
Was there a DNA testing order at the time of intervention?
And I need to look through the record, but I believe that at the very first hearing, I requested that the court enter an order providing the department to pay for paternity testing, given that the department's position was that it would not pay for paternity testing unless it had been ordered.
It seems like that would have been a simple answer to all of this. But the record doesn't tell us why the testing was not done.
Right, and there's nothing in front of the court to tell us why it wasn't done. And obviously, Mr. Morris would have the ability through contempt for the department if it did not provide that, or I suppose there's a writ of mandamus or some other way that he could have compelled the actual testing.
I don't know why we're getting to all of this stuff. You don't want this man to have a hearing because you claim he's not the father?
May I answer?
Sure.
What I'm indicating to this court is that there should have been adequate notice provided to the parties that a paternity action or paternity determination was being made simply by a motion for intervention.
Well, and that what's the state's interest in this?
And that was not provided.
But what's the state's interest? You're arguing to me that in this court that the state has an interest in denying that this man is the father of the child?
No, what I am saying is that the state has an interest to make sure that proper testing has been done before a motion for intervention should be considered a paternity action. I am not on notice at the motion for intervention that paternity is such that I could make an objection and ask for that to be continued until such time as the DNA.
Along those lines, and I don't want to prolong this, but if the department would object to DNA tests, I mean, if you have a case like this where somebody comes in and says he's the father and provides testimony, mother says, yes, he's the father, and provides testimony, and there's no evidence to the contrary, wouldn't the department be on pretty solid ground saying, I don't think we want to pay for a DNA test here, for genetic testing?
I could see the department saying that, but that gets said a lot about not wanting to pay for a particular thing.
I said, wouldn't they be on solid ground?
Right. I believe at least they could make that argument, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any time to rebuttal?
No.
2 minutes. Mr. Williams.
Mr. Honors, I don't have any rebuttal. If there's any other questions, I think the issue's been flushed out pretty well.
Thank you very much.